Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
And I'm not going to calm down. It's Father's Day. If you came back, it's your choice. You had free will. I warned you this morning. And if you're like, nobody warned me, I thought it was going to be something else. Well, you still have time. Just to give you context, I came to this church 3 months before it opened. I met Pastor Juergen, said I can get behind a pastor like that. And I've watched radical things happen in the last 12 years. And I want to preach a message tonight, you know, on Father's Day, because I can tell you, I knew Jesus before, but I didn't know him. I heard about him. I didn't even get excited about reading the Word of God. And I think it was just, I was raised with the pastor that was preaching the Word, but he didn't live radical. But see, the disciples live radical lives. And there's two frames that the disciples went through. There was the with Jesus disciples, and then there was with the Holy Spirit empowered with Jesus disciples. See, I can tell you, I knew about Jesus. I was with him. Grew up in a great Christian family. But then I'm telling you, came to this church, received the Holy Spirit, and I got to see power at another level. And then on this journey, you got to remember, I was a marketplace guy. Whatever, I'll run DNA classes. I'll run grow nights. I'll do whatever my pastor asks. Don't put me in the pulpit, though. And then this all happened. Hey. But I did. It's like Pastor Juergen already knew. My grandpa knew. But there's some stuff that I want to tell you tonight, because now that I'm on both sides, see, I was in the marketplace. I said, I'm going to be a marketplace giant. I'll be a coach. I'll do all that stuff. I was passionate about watching people get successful, only to find out their marriages would go off the rail. Man, they're crushing life, but they're getting crushed in life. And then now that I'm on the flip side of it, I can tell you, I want to see men and women live real, authentic, transparent, full throttle, like the disciples did. They didn't judge people. They just spoke the truth. They didn't water it down. They didn't get bullied. They stood their ground. And what happens is, I watch more Christians that think just because you get saved, you got to be soft. And so they just start letting everybody else talk. They let the world tell you their opinions. And then we just get this thing watered down Bible 101, which isn't the Bible that I read. And what happens is, I'd made a stand going, all right, God, if I'm going to do this, we're going to go full throttle. You're going to reveal some truths to me that's going to be full throttle, because I can't do this watered down Christianity, keep me in the marketplace. Because, man, I get in the marketplace, I can say some truth, and I'm getting like standing ovations. You start preaching the Word, guess what? I have to put an attorney on retainer because of the spiritual warfare. I have to do some stuff I've never done in 17 years in the world just because I said yes to the call of God. And so I'm like, fine, devil, if you're going to try to bully me, then every time that you give me a word and I'm going to stand in the pulpit, I'm going to come at you full guns a-blazing, and I'm going to raise up a church that doesn't just think about Jesus, doesn't know Jesus. You're gonna walk with power. So when I have patients come in and tell me there's a satanic cult building camp up here, I'm not gonna have an intimidated church. I'm going to have, let's go take dominion. Let's go take our territory back. That's why I love a pastor says, let's take buildings, let's take ground. It makes me want to dream bigger, go harder, make more money, because I can do both. I can stand up here and speak the word truth and then go out in the marketplace and I'll crush it bigger because I'm getting more boldness like a lion. And you know what? I'm getting around other lions. And so tonight, my number one goal, the intention is this, that you don't get offended, that you do thicken up some skin to hear the truth, because what's going to happen, you only have one or two ways to go tonight. You can either bury your head further in the sand, or you can accept the call and just start to work it out. Now see, when I came to C3 12 years ago, I've been working it out for 12 years. So this just didn't go ping, oh yeah, let's do this. No. It's always a journey. It's one brick at a time. It's one paver at a time that I'm stepping on in faith. And all we gotta do is be coachable. All growth happens outside the comfort zone. Say, God, I'm willing to be used. God's not gonna overstretch you. He's not gonna break you. He's gonna build you. But he is doing something in San Diego. He is doing something in this campus that he's gonna put a little fervor on the inside of you. He's gonna put a little raising on the inside of you. He is gonna make something uncomfortable because he's got to do it in this house. He's already showed me. Good news is we have other campuses. So if you're not ready for it, I'm going to be real all night, so if that's starting to get you, I'm nervous about it. But let's give it up for the worship team. I won't keep it, but I will call you up early tonight. How good was come to the altar tonight? Oh, man, I'm telling you. That's one thing I've learned in this church. Keep coming to the altar. Like, I love it, man. I just keep coming to the altar. Get the no shame game going on. Come to the altar. You might be like, why is Dr. Matt on tilt? You know why I'm on tilt? Because I'm a father now. And I'm knowing what a punk I was. And now that I have a little girl, 5 years old, I'm like, I'm going to be slinging fire until she walks down the aisle and I hand her over. And there's going to be a beatdown until that day happens. And I'm not joking, and I'm looking at all the young kids. So my friends, Nick and Megan, they got a little boy, Aiden. I'm already fronting Aiden. I'm looking, and I'm not only checking their boys out. Mike Finn's about, he's having a boy, they're having a boy. Listen, they all want to get in and date my girl. And I'm just looking at the parents right now, so I'm calling the parents out strong. So I'm like, and that's why we're doing it, is because who? Randy Lanning. Come on. I'm checking the parents out. Now, let me tell you. You think it's funny at this point. You think it's funny. Come on, Mark Leposky. You got a daughter. It ain't funny. And she's right there. Right at that age. Oh, man. I will send over the military boys up in this house. But I know that he's an incredible father, so I know that the deposits he made in the bank, when it's time to make a withdrawal, it's no problem. But see, I'm joking, not joking. Because I am determined. I don't do men's prayer for all you. I do men's prayer for me and a scouting report. I want to know who the dads are. I want to know what they're saying in men's prayer, because I know what they're saying in men's prayer they're saying at home. Everything that I'm doing, I have a tactic and a goal for right now. I'm future pacing 18 to 24 years. All of you people. And I'm looking at the young people over here. And even some of the older people. Listen, you got grandkids. I'm now listening to you. But I'm telling you, it's high accountability, because that's what we're called to do. See, what you have to understand is, as a church, this is a community. And we either have each other's back or we don't. See, Brandon Collier came up to me, and we prayed him out today, and he's going on deployment for 9 months. No one showed up from his squad, but guess what? All the ushers showed up and helped him move. I'm telling you, because that's what church should be about. So I want to break off some stuff of what church is, because when I came here and I heard Pastor Juergen say that this house is fresh, real, and powerful, guess what I heard him say? That this house is fresh, real, and powerful. So we're bringing a fresh sound. That it's real, meaning you're all real, and my pastor's real. Do you know that was one of the hardest pills I had to swallow? Like, this guy can't be real. This guy can't be real. All right, I'm going to tell him some stuff that I've done. Nothing shocked him. He only loved me, didn't judge me, and walked me through it. That heals a man. So that's the real, and then there's power. He's going to bring in the greatest speakers for Empower you've ever seen. Some of you maybe never seen healing at a level you're going to watch Pastor Andrew Caballo walk through and walk in, impart to you and I in this house. Maybe you've never seen a prophetic gift. Maybe you've never seen a preaching gift like a Michael Pitts. Maybe it's going to stretch you and make you uncomfortable. See, I was uncomfortable the first 4 years in this house. But let me tell you, nothing wasn't lining up with the Word of God. The fruit of it lined up with right here. I just never seen real fruit. So part of this journey tonight, I'm not going to tell you or preach anything that I haven't myself walked through, that I haven't seen with my own eye, that I haven't experienced myself. Otherwise, I'm not being authentic with you. I'm not going to preach a message on something I haven't lived through or walked through. And so some of it is raw because I'm just a human being. I'm not a human doing. And when we start to understand that your brother and sister on your left and your right are walking through the same crap you are, but everyone's walking around like, we're all good, you good, I'm good. No, we're not. And the minute we have the reality check that we are all walking through stuff, we can learn how to pray for each other. We can learn how to hold each other, talk to each other, and get real with each other. So, man, it starts off, you know, I always like to drop some facts, especially with my fact-checking row right here. How Father's Day began was always interesting. It was one woman. See, I want to tell you, one person can make a difference. One woman who was celebrating Mother's Day, because how many know? Let's just be honest. Mother's Day is the legit deal. We're like second. Just for you podcasters, I was pointing at my poop emoji. See, in 1910, as this lady, Senora Dodd in Spokane, was honoring her mom, she started thinking about all the amazing things her dad did. And so she honored her father because his birthday was in June, wrote a letter to the president, kept standing, kept believing. And then 56 years later, in 1966, Lyndon Johnson signed the proclamation declaring that the third Sunday in June would be set aside as Father's Day. One woman honoring her papa changed the course for you and I to celebrate today. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's a special day even though we're second fiddle. Google facts, 75% of all Americans plan to celebrate Father's Day. It's pretty good. 84% will celebrate Mother's Day. 74% of all kids say they'll buy dad a greeting card. 36% will buy him a gift. 90% of moms get a gift. 41% plan a special outing with dad. And $15.5 billion will be spent this year on fathers. Compared to the $21.4 billion that was spent on mothers. The average cost on a Father's Day gift was $125. The average cost of a Mother's Day gift is $172. Come on. They did give birth to all of us, so we should. But if you start that up every year, your mom's alive, and the gap, I mean, they are making a lot more. You know, it's a funny story, but I tell you the truth. That's how God designed this thing, a mother and a father. You know, it's amazing how much attack right now, just genders are getting attacked out in the world, and yet the church doesn't say much. they either go full throttle over here, you know, getting all condemnation, but they can't even have an articulating conversation. Many of them can't. I've been watching all these arguments, and the church rather be quiet because they want to lose their 501(c)(3) status or upset too many of the people in politics. It's pretty amazing. But when are we going to be a little boldness and start talking about what we're called to be? And you might say, well, I don't have kids. That's not my fight yet. It actually is your fight. It is your fight, especially, you know, with what's going on right now, fighting for just who we be, who we want to be, dating. Right now, dating is the most screwed up it's ever been. And it's amazing because I was reading all these stats on it. They say that dating is so screwed up because men don't know who they are anymore. Oh, sugar, really? Talking about my boys. Yeah, they are. What's interesting is they say that ever since the Industrial Revolution, marriage, divorce have skyrocketed, so has pornography. And then a lot of men will justify, it's not pornography, it's just Maxim. It's just this, it's just that. But it all leads to the same place. So what happens is, and I'm one of those guys, not knowing, I'll justify behavior. Oh, yeah, it's not that bad. It's not Playboy. It's not this. But it's still creating the image, the fantasy, the lust, that leads to the place that gets men in trouble. Why do I say this? It's because what happens is, in the Industrialized Revolution, get this, men, these crazy facts, all the boys grew up on the farm with their dad back in the day. They were working alongside their dad their whole life. And so they owned all this farm and all this land, and their whole thing was work the land, work the stuff, work. And so they grew up, and then they went in, and they got to hang out and see what mom was doing and have this family unit like you've never seen. The Industrial Revolution came along, and it was all about making money. So dad would drive into the city, leave his boy to be raised by who? Okay? No more walking alongside dad, no riding the tractor with dad, no riding the field, plowing the field, working the field, doing the stuff, not knowing how dad's character was all day long, because dad would get up before the sun would come up, go to make the money to come home, and then at night he'd be so exhausted he would sit in his throne and just wait to be waited on. So that's all the son would see. Raised by mom, watch dad come home and then be waited on. And so this behavioral thing happened in psychology. And what happened was that boys started thinking that's how they treat a woman. And see, what happens is the dad would come on, especially with the invention of TV, and then turn on the tube. And then he'd just veg out. He was fried. Couldn't even have a conversation. Couldn't have the connection that he wanted. So all boys grew up seeing was, oh, they don't need to talk about stuff. They just come and veg out. And so you don't need to communicate anymore like that. You don't have to be vulnerable like that. You don't have to come in when you're hurt like that. You're just exhausted. You want to come home and eat and then go chill out. See, that's where the grinding happened. That's where the disconnect happened. And then the stats show the same thing. Divorce started going like this, especially when women were in their 45s to 50s when the kids would leave the home. They had to reconnect to somebody they forgot to connect with. And so what happens is, fast forward today. Sometimes it's work to date. So it's easier to go home, get on social media, swipe left and start looking at stuff than get rejected by going on a date, because that's work. Because they don't know how to put the work in. They don't know how to connect, communicate on a level, because dads haven't been around to teach their boy what that looks like. This is where we're drawing the line in the sand. This is where we have to start showing what a man is and have the women raise the bar back up. But see, what happens is women don't want to be rejected, so they lower the bar. Maybe they didn't have that father figure in their life, so they'll lower the bar. They just want to be connected to somebody, and then they're giving up the V card. And then what happens is we got a generation that doesn't value the V card anymore. If you don't know what that is, ask a young person, okay? But why do I tell you all this? Because someone took one person to get Father's Day honored. It's going to take one generation. It's going to take one church. It's going to take one pulpit. It's going to take somebody to say, let's start holding each other accountable. Let's start sowing different. I'm glad my wife's over kids' church, because her and I can talk about what kids' church should look like. Pastor's like all in, all right, giving curriculum, talking about real stuff, getting them, having an Empower conference for kids. This ain't no babysitting club. They're going to get kids over there filled with the Holy Spirit praying with expectation to see their friends healed. I never saw my first radical healing till I came to this church at 32 years old. And now I'm watching young kids over there. God's stories are people are getting healed. People are getting filled up with the Holy Spirit. I watched some of these young kids get filled in the Holy Spirit before their parents do, and then their parents are wondering what's going on. So I should probably get into this. So here's a little thing. God commands us in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. See, God's always been into honor our parents. And just some pre-framing here, and then I'm going to give you one scripture that we'll chew on for a few minutes. But as fathers, we're supposed to be the authors of our home. And God wants us to author a God-loving, God-fearing, God-honoring home. Yes. And so then we have to, what the heck is that? Maybe you've never seen it, but that's okay. We're going to build it together right here. We're going to build this thing even when we don't know, because here's why. We're going to say, I don't know how to do that, and we're going to be 100% okay with it. Yeah. See, I grew up in church where I didn't want anybody to know my weakness. I didn't want anybody to know that I struggle with sin, that I'm struggling with this, struggling with that. Not here. If you come here, the more transparent you are, the more you're going to grow. The more that you can get in the middle at men's prayer and just confess a thing, even though it's awkward, the faster you're going to get healed, set free, released from that thing, and we're going to watch you walk in victory in that thing. Now, is that a hard thing to do? Yeah, it is. It is. But that's why it's called be a man. Be the man and just get in the middle and start with a thing, but it has to start with you first saying, I'm going to be the man. Because if you don't say, I'm going to be the man, you're going to fail in business, you're going to ruin a marriage, or be off the rails with your kids, or you're going to say, no, I'm not going to let the devil get in there, I'm going to be the man. And if you don't know how to be the man, guess what we're going to do? We're going to walk it out together, because we're all learning how to be a better man every day. And when we're a better man, we're going to lead our women to not have to sell themselves out. When we raise the bar, I'm not worried about what the ladies are doing, because we'll set the tone. We're the head, not the tail. And I'm telling you what, it's the number one thing that women just want to be secure, protected, loved. And if they have to compromise because they can't find any good guys, how many of you heard that? I just can't find any good guys. You know what I want this house to be known for? I want there to be like, man, you go to C3, man, I heard there's amazing men of God there. You know what I'm going to say? You're right. But it takes a level for all us men to step up and hold each other accountable and tell your friend, hey, man, I know you're slipping up with your girlfriend. Hey, I know you're walking down a road you shouldn't be walking down. Hey, I saw a post where maybe you thought it was funny that you were hashtagging whatever, but guess what? People are watching. People are watching. And it's not to bust them or judge them. It's to love them. I'd rather you tell me, you know what, Dr. Matt, I'm not tithing. Then you look me in the face and go, oh, yeah, it's good, man. I love tithing. And then I go look up your records and you're not tithing. I'd rather you just be the man and tell me I'm not tithing. You know what I'm going to say? Why not? Let's talk about it. Let's go into your belief system and find out why. And let me just see if I can uproot some stuff. I'm not trying to convince you. I never want you to tithe because I said so. I want you to have the revelation on tithing. But you know why I'm okay with calling you out on it? Because I want you to walk in victory. I'm not judging. I'm just saying don't walk around Christianese saying, oh, yeah, I love tithing. I love that part. Oh, yeah, cheering it on. And then the bucket goes by and you're like, oh, shoot. Oh, shoot. Did he really? Yeah, I'm looking up records. I'm looking up records. I'm just saying. I want to build a real church. Let's be real. If you're struggling in sin or with a girlfriend or something and you go, and we go, how's things going with you and your girl? Oh, we're good. Okay, cool. Guess what I'm going to trust you for? That things are good. Because guess what you said? See, I don't have internal dialogue. That's the weirdest thing. I don't have internal dialogue. So if you say something, my wife and I, this, I'm serious. Our first year, she'd say something. I walk in. How you doing, babe? I'm fine. Okay, cool. What was that? That was a shoe. What? Why would you throw that shoe at me? I thought you just said you were fine. I can't believe you ignore me like that. Blah, blah. Baby, you just said you were fine.
That thing could have hit me in the head. Look, the heel is stuck in the wall. That could have been my temple. Babe, is that a true story? They think I'm exaggerating. Now I know that she wasn't fine. But how many know we had to work that out over 12 years, and now when she says she's fine, guess what I know she is? No, I now know she's fine. She tells me we communicate much better now. But what I'm saying is it took a journey, but now we communicate, let truth be truth. See, when Jesus preaches a thing, guess what he's preaching? That I'm going to give you power. Guess what that means? He's going to give you power to overcome things. He's not just saying, I'm going to give you power. Oh, shoot, I ran out of power for you. No, he didn't run out of power. So in Psalm 78, 5 through 7, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. The children who would be born, that they may raise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. What's that mean? See, fathers, God has commanded us to teach our children to the point our children to have almost fear and obedience. Right. Not fear God, like, oh, I got to stay away from God. He's going to be, no. To honor and be obedient. Right. But it's amazing. I grew up in a great family, and they talked about God, and we prayed for God, and we prayed over our dinner, but I never knew I could take authority over a thing. The number one thing we can impart to our kids is I want my daughter to know she can take authority over that thing. That she can take authority when she's not feeling well. She could take authority when she feels someone's not nice at school. She could take authority and pray for things. I want to raise up a boss baby who's going to draw a land. And guess what? I feel bad for the dude that doesn't know how to take authority. They're going to lose their man card around my daughter. So why do we do this? So that our children may have confidence in God and keep his commandments. See, the New Testament tells us the same thing in Ephesians 6:4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and Thank you. Of the Lord. What does that word mean that I was hooked on phonics for years for? It means put something into mind. It does. It means plant the seed. Put it in your mind. To warn or caution. That's what that word means. Put it in. Just warn your kids. Are you going to warn your kids, like, my pool gate's down, don't go too close to the pool? I should if I care about them. If I want them to have victory in their life, shouldn't I warn them about the commandments, the things of God, to set boundaries for their life? How far are you willing to take it? Well, how much breakthrough do you want them to have? How much breakthrough do you want in your own life? In Psalm 119:11, Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's why the word of God is so important. It gives us the guidelines to what it means to be a real man, a real woman. And what I like, that's really what this whole talk about is today. And because here's what, I grew up in a God-fearing family. But I never understood, my parents were like, oh, you had to read the Bible. Almost like it was a suggestion. Now, if they told you, they'd be like, no, we told you to read. That's why we wanted you to memorize John 3:16. And that's why we sent you to a Christian school. Yeah. I just thought I was being obedient. You told me to do something. I never knew the why. Without the why, there's no comply. Why should I read the word of God? Why should I put it in my spirit? Why should I get these tools and put them in? You're about to find out in a minute. So how to be the man in Psalms 128, this has been preached on a lot, but I just want to give you this context before I go into the heavy lifting here. But blessed is everyone who fears the Lord in Psalms 128, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like the fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall be the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and then may he see the good of Jerusalem and all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. What I love about that is this goes on to say there's really four things you want to understand about that. We were taught the prosperity of our families depends on the blessing of God. In this, we are taught that the only way to obtain that blessing, which will make our families comfortable, is to live in fear of the Lord in obedience to him. That's why what we do in our life. This is why we should apply what we're reading right here out of the Word of God. So four things. They shall be prosperous and successful in all their endeavors, where they're employed. With those two principles, these things will happen. Number two, their relations shall be agreeable. I mean, your relationships should be awesome. You should have deep relationships. You know the number one thing with men they find in surveys? They don't have deep relationships. Men have surface relationships. They don't want to get vulnerable, so they just put up this front. Well, it's not what this word says. Number three, they shall live to see their families brought up in the house of the Lord. They shall have the satisfaction of seeing the church of God in a flourishing condition. See, in this house, I watch this church flourish because our pastor's in the Word, applying an application to the Word of God. I'm watching his house, I'm watching this house, and all that C3 does be flourished. But it started with Pastor Phil, who stood in faith, that started preaching a faith gospel, that all things are possible. So that's amazing. So Pastor Juergen took, I think I'm going to listen to this guy. Right. I've seen what his fruit looks like. So Pastor Juergen adopts that, gets in the Word, dives deep. I love Pastor Juergen. He just whipped. The other day, I was trying to find the scripture all over the place. I walked up, he's like a thesaurus. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to find this one word. It kind of says this. And he goes, oh, yeah, Colossians, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I pretty much suck. Don't put me in the pulpit, but I can't believe that. Why am I preaching? But here's the thing. We can look at this, and then it challenges our beliefs, so we shelve it. See, the devil's trying to get us convinced and water down this book so we don't believe it in our spirit. So then we believe what our parents taught us, what our teachers taught us, what our friends taught us. So that has a higher belief than this. If there's anything, you know, I love when people get all worried about global warming, climate change, ice caps melting, stock market crashing, interest rates rising, all this stuff about homes. You know what I'm worried about it? The endangered species of men. That's what I'm worried about. I'm looking at my little boy Maverick and I'm thinking, man, how am I gonna raise him up with other friends? How am I gonna find the friends that have core values? So I then have to build like a mastermind just of dudes that are raising kids. Just so I know that my kids, this is my insurance policy. I'm going to just raise a mastermind. It's going to be faith focused. We're going to walk in faith. These are the core values. I'm going to find men and women that have these core values. We're going to raise up a village, and it's called North Campus. And then we're going to get all our kids believing this thing where the world is going to think they're crazy. They're going to find safety in this house, and they're going to flourish in this house. And I'm trying to tell you, man, I got a year to get all you believing in this thing is 100% truth gospel to start preaching it, watching it, living it. Because guess what? When Descanso happens, we're going to have thousands of people come in with unbelief. But if we have an army of believers that don't take it as just watered down gospel, but 100% truth, what happens is we now have a building that has influence with people that believe in healing, in the miraculous, in restored marriages, in all these things that we think about that sound good, but we've never seen it ourselves. See, if you're not operating in full strength, knowing that I can turn to you and say, hey, just get that dude delivered real quick in the back room. Get nervous. I want that nervousness will help you grow. If you've never walked anyone through the sinner's prayer, you get nervous. I said, hey, can you walk this person through the sinner's prayer? Get nervous. But we got to equip you. Doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't have to be anything. But guess what? We all need to be equipped to walk someone through. A pastor doesn't need to walk someone through the sinner's prayer to get him to heaven. Once you get your first win, you're like, yeah, let's do it again. Once you do your first deliverance, let's do it again. Once you realize that Jesus is operating through you with power, okay, and that there's a world that needs to hear it from you, listen, less throwing Bibles, more reading Bibles. What you judge, you can't influence. And I want this to be influencers. Tony Evans says this, there is a direct link between the unruliness of this generation and the absence of spiritual leaders in the home. Unless this trend is reversed, there's bad news for the family. I love it because our society's so messed up. You have Tim Tebow that makes a stand and does a kneel and gets bashed. And then you have, you know, whatever his name Jenner is that gets put on the cut. He went from Wheaties to Fruit Loops. But he's aligned as a hero for standing up, oh, you're so brave. But Tim Tebow can't give a shout out to Jesus without being mocked, lose a job, all this crazy stuff. What kind of world are we in? I'd rather be brave and bold like Tim Tebow. Here's the last thing, and then I want to give you a verse. What we got to realize is sometimes telling the truth hurts. And we're not pain-driven. We just want to be happy and everything's good. And so if you've covered up stuff and done some stuff just to maneuver, to manipulate it just a little bit because you didn't want to have your wife give you, you know, the crunch or the stink eye, or you didn't want to tell your buddy because you might let him down, you just compromise that truth. But see, the truth hurts, but lies kill. And when we have the revelation that we just start being truthful to one another, iron sharpens iron. It doesn't say, you know, some weak thing sharpens this other weak thing. No, it's iron. There's going to be sparks. What are we saying to each other? Are we doing it from a place of love? How are we stretching one another? It's one of these things that I read this book called Four Pillars to a Man's Heart, and I just encourage every man to get it, or wife, get it for your man, or girlfriends, get it for the dude that you want to go on a date with. Yeah. Maybe wait third date. But it says, a king, a warrior, and a mentor, or a friend are the four pillars that build up men. So a man of vision and character is a king. A man of strength and power is a warrior. A man of faith and wisdom is a mentor. And a man of heart and love is a friend. I know a lot of men that think they're kings, think they're warriors, but I don't meet a lot of men that think they're a mentor or a friend because the devil is taking them out thinking they're not worthy, so they don't want to mentor anybody because they're kind of a screw up and the devil beats them down. And it's amazing. God was showing me that most men just get planted a seed of doubt. There's only one devil. He's only got so many demons to afflict us. But all he did was plant that one seed of doubt and insecurity, and it ran. All the weeds started to grow up. So we take ourselves out. Stop believing in the thing that God maybe promised us. Stop believing that what we could do, that all things are possible. And we just thought, oh, shoot, maybe that's for somebody else. But see, what happens is when we learn that God did give you something to mentor somebody, it means you just got to be one step in front of them. Like, listen, I'm going to give you great tools, but I'm no billionaire, so I'm not going to say, listen, I'm going to make you a billionaire. I could probably help you be pretty successful. Because I've already been down this road of success in certain areas of my life. Doesn't mean I have it all figured out, but I'll tell you the ones that I'm good at and the ones I'm struggling at and the ones that I'm walking out. But it's amazing that you all have this gift to mentor somebody, but the devil's checked you out and you're not mentoring anybody. So we get this warrior pose, and all we are, we're tough warriors walking around like we're going to save the day. But when we try to go a little bit deeper, people leave the church, they get offended. They go to Emerge and they learn how to be a friend. They'd never had a bromance like they had at Emerge, but then 3 months later, they're taken out again. Whoa, it was just like, you know, it was all men and stuff. I came back to reality. No, you didn't. The devil just started speaking insecurity, and you just didn't want any other man to know that you could possibly be weak. Didn't want to see your eyes sweating. It's okay, man. Ask my wife. I'll cry it at lick now. And then the one where heart and love, a friend. It's amazing. Men are crappy friends. So where are we going to learn to be a better friend? That's about talking about real stuff that we're walking through, real struggles maybe we're having in our marriage, real things that we're walking through in business. Why are you taking the licks by yourself? See, when we start taking down these pillars and put them back into balance and tell the devil to back off, you're a liar, what happens is we learn how to be four-dimensional. Four pillars strong. And when you got the four pillars that holds up the man's house, then we can operate out of being authentic. Instead of going to spend all your money on seminars and personal development, listen, I'm the guy. I spent over $150,000 on personal development to do all these things. But it wasn't until I found this house that I heard Jesus talking to me the first time that started giving me wisdom. I could have saved myself a whole lot of money. Which brings me to 1 Corinthians 2:16, which I need everyone to really get. Man, someone give me a Bible. It was like microfilm. So let me put that microfilm stuff on. Hold on. Boom. Yep, here we go. Calm down, people, calm down. Wow. Listen, so in verse 5, it's talking about forgiving the sinner. How many know we're all sinners? Okay, listen, we're all forgiven, okay? If you know Jesus, you're forgiven. How many times do you think you need to be forgiven? Do you know, so honestly, like I'm getting tattooed next week, 70 times 7 right there. Because I was so upset last weekend with someone that I like, but I'm thinking to myself, what a jackwagon. I was starting to judge him. I wanted to beat him. And I was just thinking to myself, this is when I need that tattoo. This is, 70 times 7. 70 times 7. We're forgiven. And then we're going to screw up 70 times 7, and we're still going to be friends. Do you get that? I'm probably going to let you down. I hope you forgive me because I know Jesus is. I will repent. Repent and repent to one another. It's amazing. Men have a hard time saying, I'm sorry. But it's amazing. It's just like telling God, hey, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And you know what he does? Every time. His grace is sufficient. Every time. Don't let the devil convince you any other way. But I want to read this to you because triumph in Christ, victory in Christ. When I came to Trouse to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took to leave them, and they went to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us to triumphal possession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one fragrance from death to death, to the other fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Let me tell you, we have the mind of Christ if you're in the word. And what we have to do is remind and remind and remind ourselves that we have the mind of Christ. What's so amazing, if the devil can get us out of the word, then how do we have the mind of Christ? If you don't know what you don't know, you walk into a snare. You walk into a trap. So I just want to give you a couple just quick things, and then I want to pray for us. So I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to tell you that, there's this thing called the Einstein method. We think shifting's got to be easy. Like, how do we change our thought patterns of lust, of things that we shouldn't go down that road? Well, it's easy to say, I just have the mind of Christ because Jesus is in me. No, we don't. We have to program it with the word of God to get the mind of Christ in us. So how do we do it? See, the Einstein method says, shifting is not easy, but with God, all things are possible. A man's mind lacks the capacity to solve the problems it has created at the same level of thinking that originally created the problem. So we need a new level of thinking. Where do we get the new level of thinking? The book of Proverbs. Read it over and over again. Where do we get the new level of thinking? Right here. God showed me. All the great revolutions begin with the question, how the HD, HE, whatever, how the heck did I end up here? How did I end up here? We can get up and get caught up in religion. Jesus isn't about religion. Jesus isn't about following rules. It's about trusting and listening to the voice of our Almighty Father who wants to give us the mind of Christ. See, right here are my mind mastery cards. Why did I write these? Not for a business, I promise you. On the front of them were different scriptures. Such a buzzkill. For podcasters, I had to put on some shades. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Deuteronomy 8:18. I am inspirational, I am motivational, I am persistent, I attract abundance. My work ethic and mindset make me prosperous. These are declarations because I didn't know how to renew my mind. I didn't know what the mind of Christ was. Money comes to me increasing quantity from multiple sources and flows towards me like a river. I am prosperity. And I flip it over. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? The mind of Christ. Then 1 Timothy 6:17-19, command those that are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put it in the hope in God, who richly provides us with everything from our enjoyment. I will, I can, I must. Self-mastery, self-discipline, and self-confidence propel me towards the infinite supply of prosperity. You know why I want to be prosperity? So I can buy Descanso, so I can build the house of God, so I can sow into the things that I believe. How do you get the mind of Christ? Every day, one foot in front of another. Start building on it. Get around men that know how to maybe walk you through, to mentor you. Maybe start a Bible study. Just get in it. Get around it. Embrace yourself in it. You look at every great athlete. What do? They take shots over and over. Stephen Curry, and over again until they're the best. Why? If we know the truth of the Word of God, are we not getting in it? Reading it over and over it. You're like, well, where do I start? You could read Following Jesus over and over. It gives you all the things. How do I take someone through the sinner's prayer? Read it in the book, Following Jesus, over and over. How do I get someone baptized in the Holy Spirit? Read it in Following Jesus. It's this big. Let's not complicate it. Well, you know what? My faith is depleted. Well, good. Read books like John G. Lake. A man that put everything on the side, who was a plumber, and just got the Word of God, and then he said, I want to heal the world. Started having healing rooms. And when they wouldn't get healed, guess what? He didn't start crying, start doubting God. He'd say, there's some sin that you're not confessing. Send them out. Someone would pray for them. They'd confess that sin. They'd come back through, get prayed for, they'd get healed. Read the book God's Generals over and over and over, story after story. Get around here. Watch some emails that come in with the Book of Miracles. Start building your faith, man, on the inside of us. We got to build our spirit. We are spirit. And when we understand that, God's trying to talk to us in a spirit. To get the mind of Christ, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's some stuff. What can you do? Own your junk. You can put other words in there, but own it. Commit yourself to a new belief system. I don't know if I believe in miracles. Come to Tuesday morning prayer. Start asking God to reveal miracles to you. Change your belief system. I don't know, I'm not really into that prosperity doctrine. Well, then that means you're not into the Word of God. Usually broke people say that, and I'm sorry. Every time I've had someone, I say, show me your bank account, show me your tax return, and then I know why they say it. Because they've never seen the provision or the hand of God on their life. So start challenging God. God says, test me in this. So let's test him. That's his word, not my word. Number three, go full out. Rewire, reprogram, reset your mind. Rewire, reprogram, reset your mind. Don't miss Empower. If you need to see something to be encouraged, get around Empower. Let 3 days change your life. Confess your sins. Make it nothing. Make it nothing. Don't have energy on it. You know what's amazing? People that have energy on money get weird when they talk about money. I'm like, dude, why are you getting so weird about money? It's money. It's just a thing of trade. Makes life easier because I don't have two chickens and I want the cow. Here's cash. People that have energy on money, like, oh, I, it's like you're my pastor. Listen, I have zero energy on money. It all comes through the wash. Don't let money define how you do life, how you do relationships. Quit counting pennies. Just bless somebody. Even if they don't Venmo you. Confess your sins and just make it like, it's nothing. If you're struggling with something, text your buddy, hey, I'm struggling with this. Make it nothing. Don't put energy on it. They're not judging you. Matter of fact, I got more props for people that text me going, hey, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. Props to you. That's a real man. A real man tells me what they're going through. Declare victory in all that you do. start telling them to just wake up and declare a thing. No, today I will be, today I will get that promotion. Today I will get that, today I will believe for my man that loves Jesus, that's gonna treat me like a queen. Rinse and repeat. It's not that hard. But I'll tell you one thing. Renew your mind. Change your circles of influence. Dive deep in with C3. I don't live here. Then find a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church that's not weird that you'd want to invite your friends to. Pray in the Spirit as much as you can. Make it a second language for you. Just do it. Make it your first language, whatever. Wake up and just pray in the Spirit. Start getting revelation. Listen, I wrote a 6-page sermon. And then I got up this morning and started praying in the Spirit. And how many know I went to 4-page notes? I didn't even get to that sermon. I read you the first, like, cute things. Serve, give, recalibrate, reset, and renew. That's it. Challenge you. What kind of church are we going to be? What kind of men are we going to be? That one woman said, I want to honor my dad. And 56 years later, a president put it in motion. And now it's just going to be that way. One woman. Father's Days go around the world now. Do you know that? Every nation celebrates Father's Day. It's crazy. One woman had a thought. It's amazing how many times one person changed the world. How are we going to change a city? It's going to take this tribe right here. It's going to be about preaching about stuff that are uncomfortable, but guess what? God loves you. He wants to see you victorious. I don't want you ladies to lower the bar because you don't think you can find the right man. You know what? Test God. Raise the bar. And men, I promise you, we're going to do life together. We're going to step up. We're going to challenge each other in love, in grace, and we're going to walk through some emojis, and it's going to be okay. My revelation that God is always for me, even when I'm a jackwagon. I had a pastor that was for me, even when I didn't believe in myself. There's people that believe in you.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.